We read verse 1 through 13. Might just read it, rest of it. No, we'll just read 1 through 13. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the judgment of, until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but they that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. There's coming a day, and it's coming soon. And the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists has for years had what they picture as a doomsday clock. Have you ever heard of that? And every year, the position shows the hands just minutes before midnight. According to that symbolism, when the hands reach midnight, humankind will have brought its own end. Will there be a tomorrow? And you said, I think last year I heard or read where they had moved it one more minute towards midnight. You know, they're constantly, you know, they know that, I guess they think it's going to be according to their timetable. It's not. But it happens. But, you know, back when Melissa was born, that's been several years ago, and I could say it a different way. That's been a long time ago. But when she was born, we were excited. Very excited about her birth, as well as, you know, the other two kids. Well, one of the other kids. And, but there, and we had, talking about Denny, not Stephanie. Stephanie's kind of one of those kids that snuck up on us. And, but with all the pride, there was still a haunting question. What will be her future? What will be our future? Because we believed then, and we believe now, that the coming of the Lord is near. Plus, we knew that the world was waxing more and more evil. You know, and it still is, but it's still going on. I didn't expect to still be on earth when I turned 63. Now, I don't mean I expected to die. I expected Jesus to have come by now. I really did. And I expected that. There were things back then, 1976, if you want to do the math, that were happening that told me in my that Jesus was coming soon. But yet here it is, 2017, and he's not came yet. But he's not slack concerning his promises, the Bible said, as men count slackness. One day is a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. So it's only been a couple of days since he left. But yet he's coming again soon. We know that. So we don't know exactly what tomorrow's going to be. We don't know what our grandchildren now are going to inherit. You know, when Stephanie told us she was pregnant with Grace, it was like, wow, you know, it's great to have another grandchild. And I know the Crawleys are really going to be excited because it'll be their first one. But what is she going to have to look forward to? And then she got pregnant with Gracie, and it's like, wow, what are you doing to these kids? What kind of world are you bringing them into? You know, but yet it's a world that's going to stand till Jesus comes. There's going to be seed time and harvest. The world's going to keep revolving around the sun. I believe there's going to be enough oil to for us to have until Jesus comes. The ice age is not going to come upon us, nor are we going to burn up till Jesus comes. This world is going to continue till the Lord says, enough. Like I preached a couple weeks, or last week, or week four. Until he says, it's enough. But we need to understand that. So Peter goes on to talk about this. The heavens and the earth's going to pass away one of these days with a great noise and a fervent heat. We know this earth as we know it's going to burn up. Jesus is going to refurbish this earth, and we're going to live here for 1,000 years. After the wedding supper, we're coming back. We're going to live here for 1,000 years. And then those that are born during that 1,000 years are going to have opportunity to serve Christ, to accept or reject Jesus Christ. But we will have made it. Think about that. We're going to be safe during that time. It's going to be glorious when the lion lays down with the lamb and there's no more sin around us and we're not tempted by sin. It's going to be great. But when they ask here, or when you might ask, will there be a tomorrow? You ask that with anticipation and maybe with a little bit of a dread. Is there going to be a tomorrow? Well, as a Christian, you don't have to dread tomorrow. No matter what comes, we anticipate the second coming of Christ. I'm anticipating it even now, that Jesus could come at any moment. Some people, however, scoff at it. And they'll say, where is the promise? This world's still around. Is it ever going to end? You said it will. It will. Because the Word of God declares that this earth will come to an end. It declares that Jesus will come again for his righteous church. It declares that it's going to happen. To scoff at the coming of the Lord is to scoff at historical facts. God destroyed the world once before. To say he's not going to destroy it he destroyed it with water the first time during Noah's time. Why was that? Because the world was so wicked. Another time, you read where they built the tower. They had everybody talk the same language, and they built the tower. So we're going to build this tower up to God, up to heaven. And God said, oh, no, you're not either. He destroyed the tower, confused their languages, and scattered them. You're not going to get together like that ever again so that you might make yourself as God. We're not God. We're not little gods. We're not demigods. We are people of God who've been born again by the Spirit of God. And we have been designated as those who will go to heaven one day whenever Jesus says it's time, or God says it's time. And so you need to understand it. But we are citizens of two worlds today. Citizens of this world, but citizens of that world that's out of this world, citizens of heaven. The Bible says we are in the world, but not of the world. Although we live here, I'm proud of my heritage. I'm glad I was born in the United States of America, aren't you? Greatest nation on the face of the earth. God blessed America. He blessed us and with favor. And I'm glad I was born here, not in Somalia, in Africa, or South Africa, or somewhere like that. Man, I won't say that, Christina. It just tickled me to death. But anyway, I'm glad I was born here. I'm American. But this is not my heavenly home. This is not my final destination. When I die, I have a plot over in Tecumseh Cemetery. Got a place they're going to dig a hole and drop me in, if the Lord tarries. I don't want to be cremated, by the way. I don't care how much money it saves my kids. Do not do it. I want you to walk around and see me laying in the casket and cry over me. I really don't care what you do at that point. My point is this. That's not my final destination. To be absent from the body will be to be present with the Lord. So I won't be there. It'll be an empty shell. The nut's gone. Right? I won't be there no more. It won't matter. You can walk up there and cry all you want, shed tears, and mess my makeup up. It won't matter. Will it? It won't matter. They put makeup on you. You didn't know that? It won't matter. I will not be there. I will be in the presence of the Lord. And he is not slack concerning his promises. And I'm not being morbid, or am I taking death for granted. But I understand that everybody's going to die, and I need to be ready for Jesus' imminent return when I die. But some people scoff at it. I do not scoff at it. I believe it's going to happen, and it's going to happen soon. I say that a lot. I understand that. But there was a flood one day, destroyed this earth. Jesus is coming back again to get his church out of here, and after that, this earth will be destroyed again and refurbished and repopulated. Isn't that great? That what God has everything. He does everything in order. And I tell you what, it may seem like it's way off, but I tell you what, one reason we haven't seen Christ come, because his mercy endures forever, and he's still waiting on more people to get saved. It has to be the only reason he's not came is so that somebody else will get saved. I'm glad he found me, but I know there's other people that need to be found. They're lost. They need to be found. Somebody needs to put them in the lost and found box. He needs to find them. They need to accept him. But some people won't. I understand that. But I am glad for his mercy. And so his delay is an act of his mercy. And so I'm glad he's delayed for a little while so that somebody else can get saved. But he will return suddenly and unexpectedly. As much as we anticipated, and as often as we look forward to it, and as often as you might just stand and say, well, that might be the cloud he's coming back on, he's going to come unexpectedly. You're just not going to realize all of a sudden he's going to come. You better be ready. And you can't scoff at this coming. There will be a tomorrow. There will be a tomorrow. And what's he tell us to do? He tells us to live a life of holiness. We're to live a life of holiness. And that's a straightforward challenge to the church to be holy. The Word of God says, be ye holy. God's holy, so be ye holy. Well, that's living a sanctified life, a righteous life, shunning the very appearance of evil, doing what you can to live for him. You're going to make mistakes, and you're going to falter at times. You're going to have to say, Lord, I need your mercy again. I need your grace. Please forgive me. Amen. Every once in a while, I just have to say, Lord, forgive me. I thunk a bad thought. I did something I shouldn't have done. Please forgive me. What's he do? He forgives me. He forgives me. Now, I don't want to just keep sinning and shed his, run roughshod over his shed blood. You don't want to do that. But I'm glad he forgives me. And there's going to be a tomorrow. There's not a time. Let me tell you young people this. If you're saved, you need to stay saved. There's not a place in our time period right now, we're so close to the coming Lord, for you to decide to go sow some wild oats and have a fling. If you've been saved a period of time, there's no place for you to decide, I'm going to step aside from myself, I'm going to walk away from the Lord for a period of time and have some fun. There's no place to go sow some wild oats or have some kind of fling. Stay in there. And there's no problem so tough that's so bad that you ought to quit God over it. Fact is, whatever it is you're going through, that's when you ought to run to him. Run to him. There's a song by the Hensons, New Hensons, it's called God is Our Oasis. And it goes something like this. Sometimes life seems like a desert. Seems dry. Seems like there's no water to drink. But God is your oasis. So no matter how rough it gets and how dry your spiritual walk is, understand if you'll press on through, God's your oasis. He's just right out there in the distance. And there's water there. Come to the life-giving water. For just one sip will save your soul from sin. Come to the life-giving water. Come drink freely again. So don't give up. Jesus is coming soon. Don't go walking away from God. If anything, knowing he's coming should be an incentive to stay pure, to stay where you need to be. And we have a great hope. We need to have an attitude of hope. While the earth the end of the world carries a threat, it also carries hope. As a Christian, we know that God will institute his eternal kingdom. When this world ends, he's going to institute his eternal kingdom. And I'm going to tell you something. Russia ain't going to end it. Iran or Iraq's not going to end it. It won't end until Jesus says, it's enough. Till God says, go get your children. Then the end comes. Not until. We're going to have wars and rumors of war, threats, earthquakes in different places, pestilences and famines, and still not going to be over till God says it's over. So understand that we have hope. So remember that today. We don't want to have sadness in coming, thinking about the coming of the Lord. We need to be glad. Jesus is coming soon. But stay in there. Stay in the lifeboat. Stay in the lifeboat. There's a story about the Titanic. Now, all you've heard about the Titanic, haven't you? You had, 30-something lifeboats on that big boat. Did you know that those lifeboats, there was very few people drowned in that wreck or that sinking of that Titanic because of the sinking. They didn't get caught on the boat. Most everybody got off the boat, but the problem was that the lifeboats didn't come back and rescue the people. They didn't fill them all the way up. They left. Most of the people had life jackets, and when they went back and found them, they found 300 or 400 people floating in that icy North Atlantic, frozen to death. If the boats would have went back and filled the lifeboats were not full. They had enough lifeboats to put everybody on one. But they became so panicky, so afraid, they went past people who were floating in their lifeboats, in their life vest. They could have stopped and pulled them in, but they were panicking. There was enough lifeboats to save them all. Well, Jesus is our lifeboat. He's not going to leave you in your frozen Atlantic state floating around in a life vest. He's going to throw you a rope. He's going to pull you in if you'll let him. He's going to secure you for your eternity. Get in the boat. Get in the boat. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. I had a few more things, but not much to say. Would y'all like to find a place to pray?